Hey everybody, this is Adam, host of the podcast you're about to listen to. Just a reminder, Unpopular Opinion is a whole damn network now. Check out patreon.com/unpops. For just $5 a month, you get all of the podcasts we release, which is so many different shows, all in one handy RSS feed, so you don't have to subscribe to a bunch of shit all over the place on the internet. And you also get a whole bunch of bonus episodes of shows that I co-host that you can't hear anywhere else, just on Patreon. Just $5 a month also. Pretty damn cheap. Anyway, patreon.com/unpops. That's all I wanted to tell you. Thanks. We love you. Enjoy the show.
El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey! Welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a bunch of weekly columns for a bunch of internet places, and I would use those columns to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then, I'd come on this show to defend those opinions. But now I don't really do any of that shit. I just do a whole bunch of shows. Joining me today, you've heard him on Unpops podcasts, such as Take a Walk and Fightcast before. He's also a wonderful comic who you can see telling jokes somewhere in Los Angeles all the damn time. Making his first appearance on this show, ladies and gentlemen, Nadav Fleischer. Also joining me, this guy is here every single week. I honestly don't think I'd be able to do the podcast without him. He's one of the nicest and funniest and smartest people I've ever known. And you can see him this Saturday at the Hollywood Hotel doing a live Unpops Network podcast at 9 p.m. Check our Twitter for more details. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about me. It's going to be a great show. All right. Should we get started?
Yes, queen.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. My co-host, Brett Rader.
Hey, how's it going?
What were you doing adjusting my volume?
I was making
it sound perfect.
Oh, all right. Okay.
I sound great.
Okay.
How have you been, Brett?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
Hanging out.
Just chilling. Good.
Yeah. Summer. Watching baseball, watching movies.
Is it officially summer? I lose track of these things
with
the work schedule I have.
When you walk around and it's like a weekday and it's 1 p.m. and there's a lot of kids everywhere, it's summer.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. There's kids at the pool all fucking day. And
my
don't like it.
My children died in a horrific school bus incident, so I no longer need to know the school schedule.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
No, it's funny.
But it's not.
It's Brett's origin story. It's what drove him to comedy.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. But, you know, you walk around and you're like, oh, they're all out. They have nothing to do. Youths.
You caught me mid-toke there.
Yeah.
I couldn't jump back in when I expected to, but we'll fix that in post.
Oh, you know why also it feels like the summer?
Why is that?
Because Big Brother's back.
Oh, that's right. And your podcast is back, right?
It certainly is. Well, we can discuss it at the end of the show, as is the ritual.
We will definitely discuss it. Nadav Fleischer.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
Really good. This is your first time on the main podcast,
it
right?
It is. Yeah, I've been on a handful of the little other podcasts on the network, but
yeah, you've been on Take a Walk.
Yep.
I think we had you on, was it Fightcast?
Yeah, I was on that, arguing against the death penalty.
The death penalty?
Yeah, it was a weirdly very, very civil discussion.
Yeah.
Didn't get that heated.
Yeah, which was weird, because either the week before or the week after was about Taylor Swift, and it was, I thought my apartment was going to be burnt down. It was pretty intense.
It's weird how intense, the most intense argument I've ever gotten into was about silly shit like, will robots ever be people?
Yeah, beat people or be people?
Be people. Could they ever be considered human beings? I got an argument with a stranger at a bar for an hour, and I loved it because it just, like, we don't have to worry about this. This isn't an actual thing.
Yeah. Well, yet. Now I know what I want the rest of this podcast to be about. Will robots ever be people?
If I ever got into a conversation about that in a bar with a stranger, I would want a robot to beat me.
Can I tell you how I thought of the dumbest joke? I was talking to the bartender about sci-fi, and I said to him, hey, what do you think of this? You know Asimov's rules of robotics. The first rule of robotics is you don't talk about robotics. The second rule is you don't talk about robotics. Bartender laughs.
Hey, you know, the hardest part of this show for me is the first few minutes, because I spend all that time asking everyone else what's going on in their life, when all I really want to do is talk about what I've been up to since last week. And that's why we call this segment This Week in Me. This is really loud.
Oh, okay.
And it's about to get really intense. Yeah, my headphones might be kicked up a notch. Do you listen to the podcast enough to know that we do that to people?
Yeah. No, I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, now the headphones themselves are really low.
Well, okay, yeah. The problem is the headphones are either too loud
okay.
or too quiet. It's not me.
Okay. Are you still good? Can you hear?
I can't hear anything on the headphones.
Yeah, just turn them up just a little bit.
All right, okay.
There we go.
Better?
Okay.
Yeah, this is better.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe my individual cans were up too loud. Who knows?
All right.
I get you, because we get other guests in here and they're like, I can't fucking hear. And then I have to crank their shit up, and then I get in that same chair and it's all out of whack.
This is really behind the candelabra, wouldn't yeah. you say?
Yeah, yeah. I would say so. Anyway, yeah, sorry for cutting you off.
No, it's okay.
I was done.
You kept me from rambling, and that's important.
I had a feeling it was coming. The last couple weeks, Brett has just gone off the res.
I think if anything, it's like probably some of the best cutoffs that have ever happened in this series. But
probably,
you
know. Yeah.
You okay. really did wait for the punchline and went for it, and I appreciate that. Yeah.
It was
story
great.
Story wasn't over, but it needed to be over.
Definitely.
If anything, I was going to wait and introduce Vanessa and then have you do it, because Vanessa is not here. She was supposed to be.
Right.
But she got sick like a fucking idiot.
She got sick. She gave me a vacuum cleaner and stayed across the room the whole time.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm certainly whatever made her sick is now inside the canister of that vacuum cleaner.
That's why I've kept it in my trunk and it's staying there for about 2 weeks until I can trust it.
Yeah, quarantine it.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So we're talking, our episode this week is kind of timely. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Libs.
This is like a real South Park episode happened right after it happened.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking about Trump's Space Force. And we had a fun debacle today where me and Brett did about the same amount of notes about the same topic.
Adam picks the topic. He put down a few links, a few articles to check out. On the same Google Doc, I wrote out a lot of notes, and Adam did not see them and wrote out the same exact notes. Because we're twinsies.
Twins.
But he's like, when did you write all this stuff? And I'm like, it was literally in the same Google Doc that you were typing in all day, just like one paragraph down.
And then I got to the end of doing my notes and see all of Brett's notes, and I'm like, I said all that!
Anyways.
We're talking about...
Oh, my God! Yes!
You owe me a Coke. Jinx, you owe me a Coke if you talk again. Yeah, fine, you can talk. It's fine.
I was gonna commit to that before.
So. That'd be a really weird podcast episode.
Yeah. So we're talking about Trump's Space Force, which is a story that just broke a few days ago, and it's one of those things that, like everything else that comes from Trump, it's gonna sound one of two ways: either horrifying or ridiculous. That's
right.
Pretty much everything. At least if you're on this side. We're even sort of on this side of the political fence. At first glance, almost every headline involving Trump sounds absurd or
you know,
scary.
This one was trending for a few hours, but luckily they just threw some immigrant children in cages. They're just still doing that. So this one I feel like actually kind of came and went pretty quickly in the grand scheme of things.
I will say it kind of falls in line with Trump being a fucking man-child, because this feels like something that a child who became president would be really proud of.
Yeah.
Right. And I feel like he kind of sprung this announcement on people. I don't think they were expecting him to bring it up at...
I think he had mentioned it he had mentioned it before.
Right.
I don't know if he was just riffing in one of his patented, hey, I'm just going to go to Iowa to like a high school gymnasium and riff in front of an audience for a little bit, like just do an open mic. Or I don't know. But as we're gonna get into, the whole idea of a space force has been around since before Trump was
it's been around for a long time, yeah. So yeah, he ordered the US military to establish a sixth branch of the armed forces, which would be a space force. And that's an important distinction, if it's a sixth branch or if it's just part of the Air Force. But we'll talk about that more. This is a quote from old Orange Fuckface himself. "It is not enough to merely have an American presence in space. We must have American dominance in space." And that sounds like something Trump would say. Mm-hmm. There it is.
Space Eagle.
Space Eagle. It's a
different drop than the regular eagle.
Yeah, we have a whole variety of eagles. We have Intensity Eagle for when someone fights. We have Domestic Violence Eagle for whenever domestic violence comes up. We have a lot of them.
Does he just watch? Why doesn't he do something?
Oh, no.
Well, he flies over and says something, but he is but a mere bird. And he's not that murderous owl from the staircase. So what can you do?
Fair.
Right?
Yeah.
Is everyone on board with the owl theory now?
I didn't watch the staircase.
Okay, God damn it. Don't send me down this rabbit hole.
Listen to like an episode of Lore about it. That's all I know.
Never mind. He also called for federal agencies to, quote, implement a state-of-the-art framework for space traffic management, which, sure. And the end of this, where this is all coming from a BBC article, but there's a million fucking articles about this particular aspect of it. And what's really interesting to me is the end of the article. This is a quote. "The president has spoken on previous occasions about adding another branch, the Space Force, to the armed forces, and a former U.S. Defense Secretary, Donald Rumsfeld,
heard of him,
once proposed the idea in 2000. Nothing ever came of it."
Because of 9/11.
Yeah, and that is the actual answer, yes, because of 9/11. Yep. And there's just so much that they're leaving out of that paragraph. Like, they make it seem like it was just an idea Rumsfeld had back in the day, and now Trump is bringing it back to life. And it's been around forever.
I would assume as soon as we were putting rockets in the sky in the 60s, there was talk of a space force. I'm sure, you know, at least even in back rooms, Congress people and military people have been like, should this be another,
right,
you know, wing of a branch of the military?
It's an interesting thing because I don't know where I entirely stand on this, because there are threats in space. We have satellites. They control everything in our civilian and military lives. And Russia has a kamikaze satellite. And what it does is it either crashes into or gets close enough to disrupt our satellites.
Right.
The Chinese also have kidnapper satellites that have robotic arms that just pull our satellites out of orbit.
Mission Impossible rogue nation stuff.
Yeah, we did an episode of What in the World, which is the international news and politics podcast that I host with Quincy Johnson on the Unpops Network. You should check it out every Friday morning. We did an episode about the U.S. Naval 7th Fleet, which is one of our top naval fleets, and they are positioned near China in the sea, if you can believe that.
Wow.
And they had, over the past 2 years, they've had a whole bunch of really weird accidents and crashes. Some of them people have died in. And they did this investigation, and like the government conclusion was, oh, it was just like lack of training, blah, blah, blah. But there were also some voices in the military who were like, we need to look into whether China and Russia are just hacking our GPS systems and causing this problem. And they could be. You know, it's a thing they do. It's a thing we do.
Yeah.
That's the thing is, you know, I think Trump could always, this, you know, coming out and saying Space Force, we have a new military wing, we're going to design new, like, clothes for them. It's a great idea. Like, it actually sounds on paper not like a bad thing. I'm as liberal as can be. I'm all for a Space Force. Even Elon Musk, hate him. If you love him or hate him, a lot of people hate him. I'm fine with hating him. But he's actually one of the only people, like, really trying to move humanity out into space. And I think that's a really good idea. I think we should be exploring space. All that being said, we shouldn't get this confused. He's not building like a Buzz Lightyear commando thing.
Right.
This idea of a space force is protecting assets that are just not on the terrestrial Earth and are not in planes. This whole idea of a Space Force is just protecting various satellites that we have.
Right.
And, like, sort of laying claim to the moon, maybe, but not really.
No, here's...
Yeah.
Like, so that's just, like, what I want to, like, make the audience know right now is that this whole idea of a Space Corp and protecting space... It's not that. It's just, like, protecting satellites.
And the thing that I'm uncertain about is that there are threats in space. We mentioned them earlier, and the Air Force is aware of those and does have counters to those, does have countermeasures to them. So at the moment, a Space Force isn't really necessary. So is establishing one right now unnecessary, or is it forward thinking?
Well, I know part of the reasoning behind this is the Air Force has technically had jurisdiction over space this entire time.
Yeah.
There's a faction of the Air Force that is dedicated to space stuff. If you look at, like, the history of Air Force patches, there's a bunch of really weird ones that have aliens and shit on them. And they've always kind of been in charge of that. But the argument here more is that they've basically been saying, well, put us in charge of space stuff. And then when we do that and give them the budget money for it, they go, who fucking cares about space? War happens in the sky, right below space, not in space. So then they just kind of siphon that budget money away to other things.
Except I don't know if that's necessarily the case, because they have implemented, like, lasers, for instance, that they shoot at satellites. And they don't blow them up, but it's almost like shining a laser pointer in someone's eye. It disrupts them.
Right.
They have implemented a lot of, like, satellite defense stuff.
But I think the question is, are we doing enough?
Right.
Which is a completely different argument from, like, a lot of the reaction to this story was just kind of, you know, memes about Spaceballs and shit.
Yeah.
When it's actually a decent discussion and it's a thing we should talk about, but something about having Trump in office just... It's the same thing as when he brought up a national 5G network. That's a thing we need, but everyone heard Trump say it, and we're like, fuck no, we don't want Trump nationalizing the internet, and maybe we don't. And maybe we don't want him doing this, but they're both things we need at some point. And when it comes from Trump, it's just so hard to talk about it. Like, because also, they're throwing kids in cages, and
yeah,
like, who fucking cares?
Got a lot to deal with down here, but it's also... Oof, I had a thought.
No, it's all right. It's just, you know, when you are president, regardless of who you are, things just come up that you sort of need to do and that you're going to have to take credit or responsibility for. And, it's like some president, you know, even if nothing comes of this, some president, maybe the next president, maybe the president after that, is going to have to be like, yeah, we need some sort of branch of the military to protect our assets in space.
Right.
Like, so it just, and you know what? We've had 4G for a while on our cell phones. 5G is coming. And if it's coming in 2019, then Trump is going to be the president for that if he's not impeached.
Right.
So it's just, yeah, it really sucks to give him credit for something. And again, like, I think the most interesting quote here is from this Atlantic article, if you don't mind me going ahead to that.
No, go for it.
This is all this is about. So you can't really give Trump much credit for this. Some general or some, you know, undersecretary or whatever is just like, hey, make a Space Force because it's gonna make the money transfer. It's gonna make just like spreadsheets look better for internally for the Pentagon. So here's a quote from this Atlantic article that we're talking about. A new Space Corps would represent more of a bureaucratic reshuffling than a major expansion of the Space Command, which currently employs about 36,000 people and is headquartered at Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado. It would not affect NASA or the government's intelligence operations in space. The goal is to protect the military's budget for space, speed up the development and deployment of new capabilities, and establish a new culture that encourages and promotes servicemen and women who specialize in space. It's a bureaucratic reshuffling. It's in the first sentence there. It's like, all right, the Air Force is stealing money from our various space projects. Let's just make a separate entity that gets its own budget.
That's the thing. If it really is just a bureaucratic reshuffling and doesn't add any cost to the budget, the defense budget, because we already have such a fucking inflated defense budget.
Yeah.
If there are no added costs, I wouldn't see it as a big deal, but bureaucratic reshuffling is going to cost a lot of time, a lot of productivity, a lot of resources, a lot of human resources are going to get pulled from the Air Force onto this new Space Force, and that will cost. But on the other hand, we have a super inflated defense budget, so maybe it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of, do we need it now? I mean, we're obviously doing some things in space now to protect the assets we have up there, but I think the argument is that we're maybe not doing enough. And I don't doubt that, because we as a government haven't done much in space in general in a long time.
Right.
Like, a lot of what's happening in space now is just rich dudes going up to space or private industry sending satellites up for shit. And we haven't really, our space program has been not that robust lately.
That's why I don't think exactly. Like, I haven't looked this up for sure, but but my guess is during the 2016 campaign, Trump probably said stuff about like cutting off the budget for NASA and like not really worried. The whole ethos of the Republican Party, of conservatism is in general, is like, we have problems here. And the problem that they think are the problem are like,
yeah,
brown people existing. Let's deal with the problems here, right? And not have America, you know, I'm not saying this the right way, but like, Republicans are like, all liberals care about is Mexican citizens. And like, you know, so Trump doesn't give a shit about what's happening in space. He just wants to like kick black and brown people out of America. He doesn't give a shit. And like what he's done to the NASA budget, he sort of exemplifies that. Like, they've completely reduced how much money that the U.S. government is giving to the International Space Station, so much so that by 2025, and this is all under Trump, by 2025, U.S. will be giving $0 to the International Space Station, and then they're also going to try and flatten out how much we give them until then, so it's actually like a little bit less every year because of inflation. So Trump doesn't actually give a shit about space. It just sounds like a good headline. It's like, hey, boss, we got something for you today. Just like say Space Corps, and maybe no one will ask you about the kids in cages today. I think
it's probably also so much easier for him to justify space stuff to his base if it has to do with the military, if it has to do with militarizing anything, because NASA, their mission is science. It's discovery. And also, a lot of what NASA does is address climate change, which the Republican Party just vehemently doesn't want to believe exists.
Yeah. Again, it should also be noted here that all of this stuff about Space Corps, Space Force, whatever they want to call it, has nothing to do with NASA. NASA is a completely separate entity.
This is military stuff.
NASA is essentially like a science. And
yeah, he threw in at the end of his speech that we're also going to go back to the moon and eventually to Mars, but that's a different thing.
Yeah, instead of explorers, it's going to be stormtroopers, basically.
Yeah. So back to that BBC article for a second. When they mentioned that Rumsfeld brought this up in 2000, there was actually a Rumsfeld Space Commission, which sounds almost more insane than the Donald Trump Space Force.
Yeah, weirdly a worse name.
and somehow this was the real thing. And it was actually, it came up at the time because at the time Congress considered it the Air Force's last chance to actually start guarding space properly before we turn it over to another entity, like make it its own entity. So even that part of the discussion has been around since the early 2000s, the part where is the Air Force actually doing enough to protect us, or do we need this separate force? And there's a really interesting article on a site called War is Boring, which is a medium.com site, but they actually they incorporated a bunch of actual publications and they're like paying people now. It's a whole thing. And it's called America Needs a Space Corps by MV Coyote Smith.
I trust him.
Well, the thing about MV Coyote Smith is he is a former colonel in the United States Air Force. And his entire argument is this exact thing, that like exactly what's coming up now, that the U.S. Air Force, for one thing, it's interesting that Trump brought up separate but equal when he said this force would be separate but
he
equal
was like,
to the
hey,
Air Force.
Hey, remember all that stuff about like black children in schools in the 50s? We want to bring that back.
Yeah.
Separate, we like that. All the, yeah. the drinking fountain stuff.
Well, the one of the things that comes up in this article is that one of the things that has kept the Air Force from actually doing this job effectively is that there's a culture where the people who work on the space side of things are space geeks, and they're not flying. Like to quote Armageddon, or to paraphrase Armageddon, they don't know nothing about flying.
They know nothing about drilling.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
They're the science.
I said paraphrase.
Like, yeah, I mean.
Do you think
you've seen? Oh, sorry, go for it.
Do you think that they ever all get in like war rooms and they plan shit and like the Space Force?
Possibly not.
Well, here's the thing: the colonels are the guys see the Space Force like speak English, asshole. Like they're those guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They right. shove them in lockers. The military has lockers,
yeah, and
right?
Right.
Yeah. The best lockers. But no, but like if you watch Top Gun's like a movie
documentary
about. Gay men who love playing basketball or volleyball.
Volleyball.
But
show some respect.
If you watch like the right stuff or anything, the whole
that was about basketball.
That was about love and basketball specifically.
Wasn't that a movie?
That the right.
I don't
stuff?
Know anything about sports movies.
No,
haven't seen any of
yes.
them.
So if you watch the right stuff or you read about like the early astronauts of the 50s and 60s, these weren't like nerds who were like, oh, but the calculations, I'm going to have to use my little protractor here. No, these guys were like, put me in something, I'm going to go fast as fuck. And that's why half of them died, like blowing up in these experimental ships and these experimental rockets. So there's that sort of part of the Air Force, I think, that has kind of remained with the whole planes and jet planes
right.
stuff. And all of the people involved in space have turned into the geeky protractor
probably
nerds.
Because a lot of the space vehicles are unmanned.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they're manned from Las Vegas
yeah,
or remotely. Colorado. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As ironic as it is, a lot of the stuff the Air Force does in space doesn't require pilots.
Yeah.
And because of that, what this article argues, at least, is that there has just always been this culture in the Air Force where they don't really respect the space side of things. And what they're arguing is that we're getting to a point in history where we need them to really start respecting that.
Yeah, they need a safe space.
Yeah, exactly. So after this Rumsfeld thing, the Air Force did actually implement a few measures, but then 9/11 happened and they sort of diverted all that. They used 9/11 basically to divert
they were like,
all that money away from the measures they had implemented.
They were like, do you know where Osama bin Laden is? And someone else was like, no, but we know that he's not in space.
What if he
all
was?
All right, let's take all the money from the space.
Someone nerds. Was like, I found him on this satellite. And they were like, shut up, nerd!
Put him back on Earth. We're getting him there.
Find him in a helicopter.
I think he might be in Pakistan. It's right next to Afghanistan.
Oh, shut up, nerds.
What book did you read that in, pussy? So, yeah, this has apparently been a long-running problem with the Air Force. And these are some quotes from people who are not Trump. What we have got to recognize is that our adversaries know that we cannot fight and win a war without using space. And they have developed offensive capabilities that we have not done a good enough job of being prepared to respond to. That's Mike Rogers, chair of the House Armed Services Strategic Forces Subcommittee.
Do you know who Mike Rogers, like, you know what he also goes by?
I don't.
Mr. Rogers.
Wow.
Blew your guys' mind right there.
So you know.
It's all in the documentary. Just check it out.
You know if a Mr. Rogers is calling for it, then it's legit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in.
Also, this is a quote from the always trustworthy John McCain. Russia and China are developing military capabilities explicitly to deny U.S. forces the use of space, including by targeting our satellites. Which is a thing you just mentioned,
yeah.
The ways they target satellites.
I mean, when we talk about what we have in space, the satellites are our most important things. That's,
yeah.
That's how we navigate. Yeah. That's how we map everything. We need them. I did read one article that was really interesting about one of the counters they developed is another satellite that has a bunch of little tiny satellites attached to it so that if it gets blown up, it can launch a ton of mini satellites that are just impossible to hit.
It's like the Cloverfield monster.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking of like a satellite with a bigger satellite next to it with like brass knuckles.
Yeah. So it can punch the one with the little robot arm that tries to pull it out of orbit.
Or like whenever like SpaceX or, you know, even DirecTV like sends up a new satellite, it's like, yo, make another satellite your bitch on the first day and then no one will bother you in space. Have they ever thought about that? I don't know.
They should make
eggheads.
They should put
we'll see you in the meteor showers.
Oh no. Oh.
Brett's
oh no.
Brett had to slowly pull up the sound effects. That's why you use the board, baby.
No, man.
You're old school. You're like that guy on Forged in Fire who only wants to make his knives with conventional tools.
Exactly.
Is that's that a reference
that's
everyone
a reference
gets?
I understand.
I was literally just listening to the last episode of this podcast, so now I get that.
I fucking love that show. I watched like 8 episodes last night. It's on Hulu. Everyone check it
out. Oh, that's the like the reality show about making swords?
Knives.
Oh,
it's okay, basically... Yeah. It's everything you love about a reality baking show, but they're making knives.
They're baking knives.
That's nice.
It's fucking great. So one of the other things that the BBC and a lot of the reporting around this, people are making it seem like it's a Trump idea. And not only is it not a Trump idea, it's a really old idea, but it's a bipartisan idea. That BBC article acts like this idea just sprung up from the ashes of the Rumsfeld Space Commission in 2001, but the House of Representatives approved legislation that would direct the Defense Department to build a new Space Corps within the Air Force back in July of 2017. And it was the military was the biggest opponent of the bill. And this is another quote. The military has not done a good enough job looking after space with all its other distracting priorities, you know, like bombing the Middle East and things. And that was Tennessee Democratic Representative Jim Cooper.
You know what he goes by?
I can't even guess.
Sometimes people hang out with him and they're hanging with Mr. Cooper.
I did not see that coming.
I'm glad all of these old TV hosts got jobs in the military.
Yeah.
So the only real debate here is whether we should just give more money to the Air Force to keep also being the Space Force, or if we need a Space Force.
But this is, of course, the military is the biggest opponent. They're the one stealing the money from the nerd.
Also, bureaucratic reshuffling is hard.
They hate that. They just want to shoot
it's
stuff.
So hard.
But the Air Force has a fellow student in their class that brings like a fresh peanut butter and jelly sandwich and an apple and a little lunch bag every day, and the Air Force just snatches it so they can make their golf courses and stuff.
Well, here's my question,
and
then
the government's just like, no, well, maybe we should just like let the nerd like eat in their own separate room.
Well, then let me ask you this. Is the government or is someone beholden to the government presenting this story in a way that we just laugh it off instead of going, holy shit, that is a gigantic scandal. The military has been stealing money meant to protect our assets in space, and now we might be vulnerable in space because the military's been stealing money.
There's literally like 2-year-old babies in cages right now. It's not a scandal. Sorry.
No, that's a fucked up argument. There is always enough bandwidth to worry about the multiple problems.
It's only
because kids in cages aren't the only bad thing Trump is doing
now. There's so many horrible things that he's doing right now. But like the Air Force is routinely like taking money away from like space line items and putting it towards like
But isn't
Air
that
Force
the
stuff?
Bigger story here?
It seems like it would be, but it's not going to be a story until China like has one of their spider satellites like grab one of our satellites and chop it in half.
And it's not like
it isn't very exciting. It's about
not, but that doesn't make
it's
it
about
not
announcing.
Scandalous.
Well, the reason it's not scandalous is because they're not technically stealing from anything. If it's part of the Air Force, they're just getting money as the Air Force, and they're just like, yeah, we got to prioritize something else before the space shit. That's all they're doing. It's not.
But it's still art.
It's not like the Navy stealing from the Marines, because the Marines technically a part of the Navy, but also kind of their own thing. That would be a big deal.
But it's still our tax dollars being spent in a way that's keeping us not as safe as we should be.
People will only give a shit once, like, Google Maps doesn't work for 3 hours. Like, that's nobody cares. And then even at if Google Maps goes down,
people should care.
I know people should care, but if Google Maps and Apple Maps go down, and like people have to like use old Thomas's map book that their dad had in the back of the passenger seat, like even if all of that happens and it's a big scandal, at the end of it, they're like, oh yeah, we found the culprit. The Air Force was like taking money out of certain line items. Like, that's super boring. If it's not the president getting his dick sucked or like the president hiring these people to break into a hotel, it's not, nobody gives a shit. Nobody gives a shit. It's super boring. I agree with you. Yeah, it is a scandal. I agree with you. Yeah, we need to protect our assets in space. Fuck, I agree with Trump. Like, we should have a space force. I agree with Elon Musk. We should have fucking people on Mars. I'm all for all this stuff. I'm just saying it's boring.
Here's the thing. Here's what I'm still torn about is we are protecting our assets in space. We have them. We're already protecting them. Russia and China are escalating their space shit, allegedly, because that's not declassified, but I guess we can assume that based on what they've been saying.
Right. Yeah, we'll get into some quotes from Russia. So we don't need a space force
right now, but we might in the future. So is it, that's where I keep being torn. It's like, is it just unnecessary or is it proactive?
Yeah, and I mean, it seems like a thing we should be proactive about. If there is, I mean, maybe they're just not giving us the evidence to back up their side.
Right.
But I would certainly appreciate seeing that.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it feels to me like a thing we should be pursuing. Because so much of what happens in war right now is happening in space. This is a Newsweek article from last year called "Russia is Training in Syria for a Future War in Outer Space," written by Tom O'Connor. And this is a quote from Viktor Bondarev, the chairman of the Defense Committee in Russia's upper house of parliament and former Air Force commander. He said that his country's battle against ISIS in Syria displayed the increasing importance of aerospace and outer space technology in combat. Said the Russian military's use of reconnaissance and advanced cruise missile targeting have expanded the traditional battlefield beyond the Earth's atmosphere. Over the past 2 years, we've mastered the skill of fighting wars in a new way. The Syrian campaign indicates that all future wars will be fought not only in the air, but also in space. It will be a war of high technologies. Already now, it is clear that resisting the means of modern warfare with just rifles and machine guns will be practically impossible. And then the article points out that prior to the war in Syria, Russia set up at least 10 satellites over the country to map out the battlefield prior to engaging. And it's worth noting, they are definitely winning that war by a fucking landslide.
I actually have another quote. This is an audio clip from a Russian space official.
I'm Harry, we're with you.
Stop, yes?
Back off, you don't know the components.
Yeah, components, American components, Russian components, all made in Taiwan.
Yeah, that's a quote.
That's pretty prescient, especially yeah, coming definitely as far back from, as it did.
That was from cosmonaut Lev Andropov.
Known cosmonaut.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Russia has been more militarily active than us lately. And we're in Afghanistan. We're doing stuff in Syria, but it's more like,
yeah, it's a lot of drone strikes.
Yeah.
We do a lot of drone strikes.
And I don't doubt that they're using Syria as a way to test, because they don't really care about what happens in Syria. But it is cool to be able to test your new shit in live action scenarios. And, you know, they're doing that, and it sounds like they are incorporating a lot of space shit. And here's the thing. I just hope we are, too. There's There's another article on Business Insider called China and Russia could cripple the U.S. with a space attack, but the U.S. is pushing back. All right, good news.
Internal rhyme in there, too.
Yeah, I like the rhyme. Written by Alex Lackey. And it mentions that in 2007, China fired a missile that flew 537 miles above the Earth and smashed one of its weather satellites. The U.S. Navy did the same thing a year later. Russia has run several anti-satellite missile tests since then. So this is, you know, shooting satellites out of the sky. That's a thing I want us to be able to do, for sure.
I'm sure we could.
Sounds like a great time.
Like, it actually seems like something that, you know, we've been talking about this whole episode. Like, if actual superpowers wanted to go to war against each other and not go to war against, like, Afghanistan or North Korea or anything, that's something that they would probably be one of the first things that they would do.
Yeah.
Try to blind their opponent.
Yeah.
Also, one thing this article brings up is the U.S. is way more reliant on space-based systems in its jets and tanks and boats than China and Russia. A lot of the older military vehicles in China and Russia still use analog systems that don't rely on satellites, which sounds like...
They use vinyl, actually.
Yeah, it sounds like they're being hipsters about it. But what it actually means is you can take down most of our shit if you can get to the GPS system that controls it. But they still have some capabilities on their end. So we really need to protect those fucking satellites. Because if we get into an actual armed conflict and they're able to just take our GPS systems out and still operate with all of their war machines that run on analog systems, we're fucked.
Yeah, especially considering we're starting so many trade wars, which is a real good way to start a real war.
It sure is. Yeah, we're not buddying up to China at all. And it feels like we're doing it with the thought that we'll have like a united Korea behind
united
us.
Korea and Russia.
Yeah, we're not going to have Russia behind us. No way.
I guarantee Trump thinks that we will.
Oh, yeah, probably. But we definitely won't.
No.
And I don't...
Russia's really good at just stepping back and just being like, oh, we're not a part of this. Oh, no, those guys weren't even wearing the Russian flag on their uniforms. They're not Russians.
Yeah, exactly. So I know it's completely separate in some sense, but I would like to take this opportunity to remind everyone that back in like October, November of last year, the government basically told us UFOs are a thing and we have no fucking clue. Like they did anyone read this New York Times article when it came out?
It's like we actually were just like, I get it, but we have more shit to worry about.
That's exactly
right now.
What it was. It was like we had all this shit happening with Trump, and we were like, fuck, now you tell us about the UFOs? But I encourage anyone to go out and read this article. It's really fucking fascinating. And it includes a U.S. Navy video of a jet following a thing, and they're like, there's a whole fleet of them. We don't know what they are. What the fuck is this?
Yeah, I didn't read the article, but I've seen that video before, and it's insane.
Weird.
Yeah.
The thing they're following just like stops and turns at a 90-degree angle. It's really fucking creepy. How far in are we?
About 40, a little bit less than 45 minutes.
Should we get to comments?
Hell yeah, we should.
You know,
that's a bit
it's
loud.
A big world out there. It's easy to feel like the things you say don't even matter. I want you to know that's not true unless it's Brett's notes at the end of the notes I already did. That's why we call this segment.
If anything, they were the notes that you didn't even do yet.
It's why we call the segment Your Voice Matters.
Oh, all right.
Where we read your stupid goddamn comments from the past few episodes and respond to them personally. Oh, fade
stay strong.
That out.
I want you to stay strong when you do this.
I don't want to stay strong. I want to break down. Read me some of those emotional comments, Brett.
This is from the episode about going postal, not the movie. Pew, 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 pew. All right, here's an interesting one. Here we go. It's from Jonathan Burgers.
Jonathan Burgers.
Fake name, Mr. Burgers.
Half off with your ticket to the Twins game.
I started at the post office in 94, so right after these changes were implemented. He's talking about the changes that were implemented to stop post office workers from shooting everybody.
Right.
I'm concerned that they've somewhat forgot about the issues. There's been two big changes in the last couple of years that I think could lead to a return of post office shootings. The first is the installation of GPS in our scanners. Sounds good in theory for tracking parcels and whatnot, but it's also been leading to discipline. We've had people written up at my station for going literally 1 minute over on their lunch break. The second is delivering Amazon on Sundays. They only use new hires, but it's not optional, and there's people who have worked 40 to 50 days straight for this. This position where you're forced can last 3 or more years. I'm not going to be surprised at all if we start hearing about people going postal again soon.
Yeah, that's really interesting because a lot of, especially the thing he said about GPS, when they talked about how, if you go back and read some of the articles and reports about it, in that postal inspector service report that they finally did, they talked about how a lot of the military kind of rules that were put in place in some of these departments were like, if you're a minute late coming back from your break, you get that docked from your pay. And it was just this really militaristic kind of way of running things. And it sounds like he's right. Like that was actually one aspect of it. And what's crazy is I think I didn't even mention this in the last episode, but those 85 positions they put in place to deal with workplace shootings at the post office, they eliminated them in 2009.
Hell yeah.
And what's crazy
Got to pay for that Space Force somehow.
Exactly. What's crazy is they eliminated them in 2009, but in 2006, there was, I believe, two post office shootings.
Wow.
And there was one for sure in Goleta, California, that I think 6 or 7 people died. And then 3 years later, they eliminated those positions. So yeah, maybe we are about to see going postal coming back.
Honestly, at this point in the way mass shootings have been happening, when you said that it hasn't happened since 2006, I'm thinking, I feel like we're overdue.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. This whole conversation about like this like really sort of militaristic working environment, I mean, it reminds me of what you're hearing about what it's like to work in an Amazon warehouse where they have like activity tracker wristbands on people that are
like you're walking too arrest.
Like you're walking too slowly, or you're not like you're literally not moving your body fast enough, and like all sorts of horrible stuff. This is connected to Amazon, but like people are going to start like shooting up Amazon warehouses. But god damn it, if I get my dog poop days 3 days after I order it instead of two.
Why are you ordering dog poop?
Bags.
Oh, okay.
Bags for my dog's poop. My dog poops.
Good puppy. What else do we got for comments? Anything?
Beaker says, when introducing Alex Schmidt, you are legally obligated to say his name, then exclaim, Schmitty the Clam!
Schmitty the Clam!
You expect the police at your door at any minute.
That wasn't true. The police did not show up at our door.
Any minute. Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Here's one. Russell Bauman. So funny how close Brett was to the truth. There is a CSI-style postal investigator show. It's called The Inspectors, and it just finished season 3. Don't know what network it's on.
Yeah, he should have mentioned the network. I don't know if I want to watch that either way. Because it's got to just be them investigating mail fraud and things, right?
I guess, unless they have a Unabomber episode, that's kind of fun.
Like, now I kind of want to write for that show. Also, like, what a challenge.
It's not that hard. Like, think about what NCIS is. NCIS...
Oh, I got a dead hooker in the mail. Whoa!
That's CSI, my friend. NCIS is all related to the Navy. The victim, a witness has to be in the Navy. It's only investigating naval-related crimes. So if they have NCIS New Orleans, they got NCIS another one, I don't know, cyber, Oh, I think it's CSI Cyber. I don't know. But I'm saying there's lots of NCIS. There's lots of NCIS shows.
Right.
So if they can have like literally 92 different naval-related murders a season, a year, then I think that you can make a lot of different mail fraud episodes.
That is a good point. Yeah, that would, if the Navy was really having murders at that rate, that would just be news everywhere, I would hope.
That would be.
Thank God the Space Force isn't in the Navy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have any other comments?
Chris Murphy says, hey, I'm holding you guys to reading my comment if I mention helicopters.
Well, there you go.
There we go. We did it.
Yeah, we did it.
Nothing else is good.
Yeah. Sorry. Try harder next time, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should probably wrap it up. We have to record another one of these pretty soon.
Don't tell them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Keep the mystery alive.
Pretty soon, like, cosmically.
Yeah.
Like, what is a week in human time? It's but a nanosecond to
hit it,
aliens.
Yeah. It, what do we, have to plug before we get out of here? Patreon.com/unpops. You can sign up there. Give us some money, help us keep the lights on, get bonus episodes of the podcast. We're going to be switching some things up here real soon, and it's going to be so nice. You have no idea, baby.
Oh, boy.
And also live What in the World podcast, June 30th at the Hollywood Hotel. That's a Saturday night, 9 p.m. It's free. You can't afford not to be there. Come on out.
You literally can't afford not to be there. It's going to cost you money to not be there, audience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can't afford. Nadav, do you have anything to plug?
When's this coming out?
This will be out a week from today.
All right. I have a show at the PAC Theater. I'm on a show, rather. I don't have it. I'm on a show at the PAC Theater on the 27th at, I think, 8 or 9 p.m. It's called Dating is Weird. It's a stand-up comedy show and also a dating game show.
Nice.
Have there been any success stories?
I don't know. I think there's only been two of them so far.
Okay.
But I went to the last one. It was a lot of fun.
But like at the end, like a couple is like, you know, if it's like a guy and, you know, three girls like behind a panel or something like that. Like
that's exactly how it was. The comics do stand-up and then someone who is persuaded to be attracted to them asks them questions and the comedians just kind of like riff answers. It's fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good times.
It's all fake, because last time the audience member was definitely married.
Oh, okay. It's not like an actual dating
I mean, it could
show.
Be, but...
It's not a bad idea for a live show.
Yeah, it's a pretty good idea. We'll steal it.
All right.
Brett,
out, Brett,
do you have anything to plug?
First of all, if you liked that clip of that Russian cosmonaut, check out the most recent episode of Best Bad Movie Ever. I'm on it talking about Armageddon, a great film. I bring up many
Criterion Collection.
Exactly. But more importantly, guys, the Big Brother season is heating up. Big Brother BB20. I can't believe it's been 20 years, guys. BB20 is here. It premieres this week. If you want to check out my podcast, Hey Julie, it's on wherever you get podcasts. And we did a couple episodes last week where we go one by one through the new cast. I have some favorites. I have some not favorites, including a guy named Brett who's on Big Brother, who's not me.
Girl!
Anyways, Big Brother, it's on CBS. It's the show's premiering this week, but my podcast is all the time, baby. Check it out at HeyJulieBB on Twitter.
Check it out. All right. I think that's it. Let's get the fuck out of here. Nadav, say goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Brett, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.